Shalom. Welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Reuven Hoffman, and Barry Hoffman. We have two subjects that we want to discuss on this week's program. The first is how JTF could potentially have an influence on what happens in Israel's upcoming Israeli parliamentary elections, Israeli Knesset elections. How JTF potentially could impact the results of that election. And the second subject we want to discuss is Donald Trump's incredibly stupid answer that he gave in the third debate that ruined his third debate performance, and that is just one in a series of examples of how he is such an unstable candidate and would be such an unstable, disastrous president. But first, let's get to the Israeli parliamentary elections. Now, Israel has a parliamentary system of government where elections can be held every year or they can be held every 4.5 years, up to 4.5 years. It depends how long the government lasts. You need 61 votes in the parliament. There are 120 members of the Israeli Knesset. And so you need a majority of 61 Knesset seats supporting your government in order to stay in power. If the government loses that majority at any time, and a majority votes against the government, then there are new Knesset elections. That's how it works. The government falls and there are new Knesset elections. So you've had times when there have been no elections in Israel for 4.5 years. For 4.5 years, there were no new elections. And then you've had other times when there have been elections in 1.5 years or 2 years. It varies widely depending on how long the government can last and can maintain its Knesset majority. The last time we had elections in Israel, it was about 1.5 years ago, and there's talk about the government possibly falling and about elections next year. It's possible there'll be elections next year in Israel. It's also possible there won't be elections for another 2 or 3 years. All of that is possible. But JTF is going to announce, God willing, Bli Neder. Bli Neder means I'm not swearing to you, but if everything goes according to plan, we expect to announce in the next week or two whom we are supporting in Israel's Knesset elections. In Israel, you support a political party. You don't support just an individual candidate. It's not like here where you have candidates running for various offices. In Israel, the party runs. You vote for the party. And then the party gets a certain number of seats in the Knesset, and that's how things function. The Likud gets 20 seats, and the other party gets 10 seats, and the other party gets 5 seats, and that's how it works. And you need at least 4 seats. That's the threshold. That's the minimum you need in order to get into the Knesset. 3.25% of the vote, 3.25% of the vote is what you need. Of the total votes cast, 3.25%, which isn't easy if you're a new party and you're not well-funded, and the media is against you, and you're running against very well-funded established parties. It's not easy to get 3.25% in a situation like that. So the question is, what can JTF do to influence the process? And we're going to discuss that a little bit this week and explain to you some of the dynamics in the Israeli electorate. There are about 70 or 80,000 voters in Israel who consider themselves to be Kahanists, who want to vote for a Kahanist party and for a Kahanist platform. And then you have hundreds of thousands of other voters in Israel who are sympathetic and support a lot of the Kahanist proposals, but don't necessarily vote for a Kahanist party. They may vote for one of the bigger parties because they want to be pragmatic and practical, and because they're afraid their vote may be wasted, because if a party doesn't get 3.25%, then your vote went down the drain. Then, you know, you don't get Knesset representation. I don't believe, by the way, that if you vote for a minor party based on principle, I don't believe that's a wasted vote. But many voters do consider it to be a wasted vote, and so you have different considerations that voters make determinations on. About 70 or 80,000 voters do want to vote for a Kahanist party, even if they think that party will lose. Usually that's been what we've seen in the past several elections. And then you have several hundred thousand other voters who support a lot of the Kahanist platform, but because they're practical, quote-unquote, they don't actually vote for a smaller party. They vote for the bigger parties, even though they prefer a party that's right-wing and they prefer a Kahanist party. So that's the unusual situation we have in Israel. You need about, to get the 3.25%, you need about 160,000 votes to pass the threshold. About 160,000 votes would get you the 4 seats to get Knesset representation. JTF is important in this respect because there are going to be at least 2 parties jockeying for the Kahanist vote. You're going to have the political party of Baruch Marzel, Itamar Ben-Gvir, and Michael Ben-Ari. That party is going to run, and they usually get about 60 or 70,000 votes. And those voters are voters who consider themselves to be Kahanists. And that party sometimes claims to be Kahanist, sometimes not. Sometimes they say, we've changed our mind, we're no longer Kahanists, which is what they told the Supreme Court in the last election. But they still get 60 or 70,000 of the voters who consider themselves to be Kahanist. Now, Moshe Feiglin and his party, the Zehut Party, Zehut means identity because he's running to further Jewish identity and Jewish independence. His party is running. He doesn't have support right now from people who consider themselves to be Kahanists. He has his own set of supporters. If JTF decides to support Moshe Feiglin, we would probably bring a chunk of the Kahanist voters over to him. We probably could bring, I don't know how many, could be 20,000, 30,000 votes potentially, over to Feiglin. And that could be significant because that could be the difference between passing the threshold and getting into the Knesset and not passing the threshold and not getting into the Knesset. I hope this isn't too complicated. But anyway, so if we decide to go with Feiglin or if we decide to go with a different party, potentially our decision could mean 20 or 30,000 votes for that party. And that could be the difference between getting in and not getting into the Knesset. So our decision is important, and you have to understand what JTF does. You've seen it even in American elections. You saw what we did for Ted Cruz. We put up hundreds of videos on behalf of Ted Cruz. Now, of course, in an American presidential election, our potential to influence things is much more limited because you have 130 million or 140 million people voting. With 130 million, 140 million people voting, it's not easy for an organization with the budget of JTF to influence the outcome unless the race is very, 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 very close. But in Israel, you need about 160,000 votes to pass the threshold. In a situation like that, if we can just bring 20 or 30,000 more votes to a party that already has some support, potentially it could mean the difference between victory and defeat. So when we make an announcement in the next week or two, it's going to be an important announcement. Now, I don't know if the rivals of whatever party we endorse are going to attack us. We're not going to start off by attacking other parties that claim to have a similar ideology. We're not going to start off by attacking those parties. We're going to try to be positive as much as possible. But you'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what the reaction is when we make our announcement again in the next week or two. So stay tuned. I do think that we could potentially have an influence on what happens. I can't promise you success in this. I can't promise you success. We're going to try as best we can to influence things, and we'll explain the reasons for why we endorse whomever we endorse. We do want to support a party that favors encouraging the millions of Arabs who live in Israel to leave with compensation, but we want them out. We want them to leave. And most of the Arabs, if you offer them compensation, will leave. And we want a party that stands for that Kahanist principle, that we want to encourage the Arabs and the Muslims to leave the land of Israel because it's a tremendous danger to Israel's survival. We also want a party that wants the illegal aliens in Israel out. They shouldn't be given any compensation. They shouldn't be given anything. They're there illegally. They should be removed. They should be deported. We also want a party that stands for Torah principles. We want a party that is against giving up any Jewish land whatsoever. We want a party that wants to eliminate Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. We want a party that favors true Israeli sovereignty and Israeli independence and an end to U.S. foreign aid, which isn't aid, which doesn't help Israel. We want a party that supports free market principles. We want a party that wants to give a Jewish education to every Jewish child in school, that wants to make sure that Jews receive a Jewish education and Jewish identity in the land of Israel. So, obviously that limits what I've just said. All the things I've said pretty much limit us probably to two parties now, to the Marzel, Ben Ari, Ben-Gvir party, which has run now in the past six elections, or Moshe Feiglin's party, the Zehut party. It's probably one of those two parties. It would see, I, unless somebody can convince me that there's some other alternative, I think those are pretty much the two options that are available. We're going to make a decision. We're going to make a formal announcement in a week or two. Stay tuned. And again, I think the decision we make can potentially have an impact. It possibly can have an impact. We'll see. We're going to try our best. Right now, we're fighting an uphill battle. Either one of the two parties that we would consider supporting, either one of those two parties, would have an uphill fight now, getting the 3.25% minimum that you need, the four seats you need, or the four seats out of 120 seats. It comes to 3.25% of the total vote that you need as a minimum. Right now, either one of those parties is going to have an uphill fight, being able to pass that threshold, but, you know, you never know what will happen, and maybe with our support, maybe we can make this happen. Let's hope so. If we helped a party to get in the Knesset and have four seats, the party wouldn't be the government, but at least there'd be a voice for what we care about, for the issues that we care about, and there'd be a voice for the concerns that have, because right now, for the concerns that we have about the terrible direction Israel is taking, because right now there is no voice for us. No one is expressing our views in the Israeli Knesset now. No one. We're doing it. JTF is doing it through our Hebrew videos and through our Hebrew campaign. We're doing it ourselves. But obviously, if we had people that we were aligned with in the Knesset, that would be much better. It would be a much stronger platform and a much bigger microphone. So, again, next week or two, stay tuned. We hope to make an announcement. God willing, bli neder. We hope to make an announcement in the next week or two. The second subject I want to speak about, we're just a little bit more than 2 weeks before the November 8th presidential election. And we've been very involved in this election, as you know, for more than a year and a half now, ever since Ted Cruz announced his candidacy. And even before he announced his candidacy, we were supporting him. So we've been really deeply involved in the presidential election. We wanted Ted Cruz, of course, to be the Republican nominee. It didn't happen. Unfortunately, Republicans picked a lunatic and a clown and a buffoon as their candidate, Donald Trump. He is a lunatic, he is a clown, and he is a buffoon. And he's a very dangerous person. I mean, the thought of him becoming president, it would be laughable if it wasn't so dangerous. The thought of him becoming president should be frightening to any sane person, because he is unstable. You know, when someone like Donald Trump says, we have nuclear weapons, why don't we use them? Or when he says, I love war, and then later on says, even nuclear. When Donald Trump says he wants a handout like cotton candy, he wants to hand out nuclear bombs to Saudi Arabia and Muslim terrorist countries, and South Korea and Japan, he says, it's inevitable, they're going to get them anyway, we might as well let them get nuclear bombs. These are extremely dangerous and unacceptable positions. He is unacceptable. And people who are supporting him, number one, don't care about Israel. That's for sure. Because his positions on the nuclear issue would be catastrophic for Israel. Absolute catastrophe. And his other positions on Israel are all bad. And America is in grave danger as a result of this. I mean, the guy is genuinely, I really believe he genuinely is mentally unstable. And to have someone who's mentally unstable in the White House is so dangerous. Do you know that a president doesn't need to get any permission from anyone to launch a nuclear war. President by himself can launch that nuclear war. By the time, from the time a president gives the order to launch nuclear missiles, it takes an average of 4 minutes for those missiles to be launched. The reason the system is built like that is because if an enemy were to attack us with nuclear missiles, the system is built so that a president could take action quickly and doesn't have to ask permission. Nobody can second guess him. He can immediately act. So a commander-in-chief of the United States military, the president, who is the commander-in-chief, has the power by himself, and no one can stop him if he wants to launch nuclear missiles and launch nuclear and launch nuclear bombs and begin a nuclear war. He can do it, and no one can stop him. Within 4 minutes, those nuclear missiles, an average of 4 minutes, those nuclear missiles would go off. So if you have someone who's nuts in the Oval Office, that's the most frightening nightmare scenario you could possibly have. America has in its nuclear arsenal enough destructive power to wipe out, probably to wipe out the whole human race. Certainly billions of people can be slaughtered by America's nuclear arsenal, probably the whole human race. In fact, there's some people who've said that the United States has the ability to wipe out the human race, all human beings on this planet several times over. So we can't take a chance when someone makes statements that are crazy involving nuclear bombs. We can't take a chance in a situation like that. It is much, much too dangerous. There's too much at stake. Hillary Clinton, of course, is also an absolute catastrophe. And so we're sitting it out. We're not supporting either one. We're sitting it out. I hope I don't have to go into the reasons as to why Hillary Clinton is so bad. I think you know that. And again, I don't know anyone in JTF that is voting for her or supporting her. I don't know any of our supporters, and I don't see on our videos, whether it's on YouTube or on Facebook, we have a Twitter account, or whether it's on our forum, I never see anybody saying, you know something, you're right about Trump, let's vote for Hillary. I haven't seen anybody do that, not one person. I haven't seen it. And it would really be, if one person did do it, it would be the ultimate exception to the rule, because I think almost everybody involved with us, almost everybody who follows our videos, none of them are going to vote for her. And I think people know why we're against her. But Trump, because he's the Republican candidate, you know, a lot of people want to find a reason to support him. And it's insane. He really is crazy. And his supporters, who are ignoring his statements and ignoring his positions and ignoring the lunacy that he's proposed, they're crazy too. On every issue, he has legitimized things that were never legitimate before. The idea of giving nuclear weapons to Saudi Arabia. I don't think his supporters would have accepted that before, but because he said it, it's okay. The idea of him defending homosexuality and the gay agenda at the Republican convention in his speech and saying he was proud of the delegates for applauding and cheering him when he defended the gay agenda, and had so-called gay speakers promoting the gay agenda at a Republican convention. We never had this before. He has legitimized and made this mainstream among conservatives and Republicans to support transgender bathrooms, which he supports, to support most of the elements of the homosexual agenda. He has broken down all the barriers. And that's turning America into an unbelievably immoral society. And that will bring God's punishment upon the United States, every country and every empire that has accepted this type of evil agenda has been destroyed historically, wiped out. And he's made it acceptable, just like he's made acceptable so many other things in his whole evil persona. His persona is so evil. He's egotistical and he's proud of it. He's cruel. He considers anyone who doesn't win to be a loser. Even American prisoners of war who were captured, he said they were losers because they were captured. American heroes who were prisoners of war, but they were captured, so they're losers. So in other words, he's a winner because he was a draft dodger. He was too cowardly, too chicken to serve. And so he's a winner. But American soldiers who were captured by the enemy, they're losers because they got captured. I mean, just his whole persona is so pathetic. Anyway, in the third debate, here's another example we saw. The third debate should have been so easy for him. I mean, Hillary Clinton is a terrible debater. She's a terrible speaker. She's a terrible debater. She has a zillion scandals hanging over her. There is so much ammunition and so much material which he never uses. 99% of the things, 99% of the things that would be very powerful ammunition against her, Trump has never even brought up. He never even uses it. He doesn't even know what the real issues are. He doesn't bring them up because he doesn't even know. He's too lazy to even study the issues against her, to even study how to effectively attack her. And so in the third debate, he ruined the whole debate by giving a stupid answer that anyone with half a brain would have known what the media was going to grab. They asked him, are you going to accept the results of the election? And he said, I'll keep you in suspense. Now, the media, he knew the media. He should have known, at least. He didn't know because he's an imbecile. But he should have known that the media is going to take that and turn that into something that's going to ruin his chances for winning that third debate, which he had to win because he's behind in the polls. And he stepped on that too. He steps on everything. He ruins everything. Imagine a disciplined debater like Ted Cruz, a great debater like Ted Cruz. Remember you Trumpsters. And yes, I'm very mad at you because you destroyed our chances for saving a lot of wonderful things. We could have had a wonderful election this year. We could have had a wonderful leader and a wonderful election. You ruined it. So I'm very mad at you. You stupid Trumpsters. Your candidate Donald Trump promised you in the primaries that he was not only going to easily beat Hillary Clinton. He said it was going to be easy. He said it was going to be easier than winning the Republican nomination. He promised you he was going to carry New York. Remember he said he's going to carry New York. He's going to carry Connecticut. He's going to win in New York, win in Connecticut, win in New Jersey, win in Maryland, win in Ohio, win in Michigan, win in Wisconsin. You remember that? He said he was going to beat Hillary Clinton in all of those states. You remember that? He said he was going to win in Massachusetts. Massachusetts and New York, all these leftist states. He said, win in California. He said he's going to win in California. You remember that? In fact, he was campaigning in California in the beginning when he first got the nomination wrapped up. He spent a lot of time campaigning in California because he really believed his own propaganda that he actually was going to win in a left-wing Democrat state like California. So he already made predictions and promises that he's going to win in California, New York, Massachusetts, all these other states he's going to win in. He's going to put all these states that were once Democrat states into play. You remember that? And you remember the Rust Belt? He's going to win in the Rust Belt. He's going to take Pennsylvania. He's going to take Ohio. He's going to take all Michigan and Wisconsin. He's going to take all these Rust Belt states. Remember he was promising that? States that Republicans couldn't compete in the past would now become competitive because of Donald Trump. He will appeal to Democrats who will cross over. You remember that? Remember that's what we were told? And the media, they supported his theory when the primary because they wanted in the primary because they wanted you idiots to support him for the nomination. So they were backing that up. They were saying, yes, yes, you know, he's showing strength among Democrats in crossover appeal. He may really win in states like Maryland and New York and Pennsylvania and California. He may win in all of these states. We said he's not going to win in all of those states. And he's not going to even win in he's not even going to win all the states that Republicans usually win. He's going to lose on November 8th. That's what we said. Now, the Trumpsters still say he's going to win. Some of them say he's going to win by a landslide. We have said all along that we thought he was going to win the nomination. That we did think he was going to win, yes. Because when you have 17 candidates running and only one out of the 17 gets all the media coverage, of course that candidate is going to win. So we knew he was probably going to win the nomination, and he did. We said that he was probably going to win, and he did. So we were right about that. But we also said that we think he's going to lose in the general election. And the Trumpsters insisted, no way, he's the strongest candidate. We don't support Ted Cruz because Trump is the only one who can beat Hillary Clinton. Trump's the one who can beat Hillary Clinton? Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out if you were right. We're going to find out on November 8th if you were right. Ted Cruz, whether he could beat her or not, we won't know this year because he's not going to actually run. I believe he could have. I believe he could have beaten her. But we're not going to know for sure. We can't prove it. I mean, I really do believe he would have beaten her, that Ted Cruz would beat Hillary Clinton. But in this year's election, the way this year's circumstances existed. But I can't prove it to you. Can't prove it to you because you're not going to have a Cruz-Clinton election in November. But what you said about Trump will be proven one way or another. Either you're right and he wins and wins big. And he promised he was going to win by a landslide. He promised he was going to win even in states like New York and California. He promised he was going to win by a giant landslide. Either he's right and his supporters are right and all of you who's told us he's the strong candidate and he's going to beat Hillary. Either all of you are right or we're right. We said that he's going to lose. We'll find out. And if he can't beat Hillary Clinton, remember this, if he can't beat Hillary Clinton with all of her scandals and with the daily WikiLeaks and all the embarrassing things that have come out about her, if he can't beat Hillary Clinton, that two-thirds of the American people say that she's dishonest, and a majority of the American people say that she should have been indicted by the FBI, and she's collapsing, she can't even stand up on the, she's collapsing, she's coughing her head off, she obviously, she's so unhealthy, if he can't beat her, then, you know, then obviously he has to be the most disastrous candidate anyone could ever dream of nominating. Because she certainly, certainly is very, very beatable. Very beatable. She's physically sick, and she's filthy and corrupt, and very vulnerable, and most Americans hate her in every survey. And if he can't beat her, then he can't beat anybody in the general election. Then he was the worst, the most disastrous candidate you could have nominated. So we're going to see on November 8th. We're going to see if we were right. And I want to see if we're wrong. If he wins, I will do my next program after the election. I will admit that I was wrong about him winning the election. I still think he would be a terrible president. I think he'll be a nightmare as president. But I will admit that my prediction that he will lose the general election was wrong. I will admit I was wrong. I'll be man enough to admit I was wrong about him winning the election if he wins on November 8th. I want to see if all of you out there are man enough or woman enough, those of you who are women, not many women support him, but so it's mainly men, but I want to see if you're man enough to admit, if those of you who predicted he was going to win and that he's the strongest candidate, if you're going to be man enough to admit that you were wrong and that we were right. At least about his electability, which has many practical consequences, because if he's not electable, what are we doing all this for? His answer that in the third debate, his answer in that third debate, that he won't accept the results of the election, was a stupid thing to say because the media grabbed on it and turned that into the most important line and the headliner of that whole debate. Instead of making the headline about Hillary's scandals, about Hillary's health problems, about Hillary's corruption, the headline was Donald Trump won't accept the results of a democratically elected of a democratically held election where the people voted, and he won't accept the results because he's just a sore loser. It was stupid. It was dumb. It was dumb. He could have said there's voter fraud, but he still should have said that he will accept the verdict of the American people. That he should have said. He will accept the decision of the American people. He will accept the verdict of the American people. Now, if there was fraud, if we find out the election is close and that Hillary wins because of fraud, if that would happen, he could still challenge it and still say, hey, that's not the true verdict of the American people because that was done with fraud. So he could have given a smart answer and not ruined his whole debate and stepped on his whole debate. But Donald Trump is incapable of doing things intelligently and with sanity. He's incapable. He is genuinely unstable, mentally unstable. And I don't want someone who's mentally unstable and promising to hand out nuclear weapons to Saudi Arabia and South Korea and Japan. I don't want someone like that in the Oval Office. And I don't want someone like that with his finger on the nuclear button. Because he can by himself, needing permission from no one, right away launch a nuclear war if he wants to. He has that power. And I don't trust him. I don't trust him. I don't think that we can take that chance. I don't know what the hell he might do. Probably he wouldn't decide, well, I'm just going to blow up the world. I don't think he would do that. But you know something? With him, I can't be sure. Because his irrational behavior is such, when everybody says to him, don't do this, you're going to ruin everything, what are you doing? And I'm talking about people who really support him. I'm talking about Giuliani and Gingrich and all the other scum that have supported Giuliani and Gingrich, all corrupt, vile, immoral scum, all liars, cheats. And the other, that other animal, Chris Christie from New Jersey, those are his big supporters. Or Dr. Ben Carson. Even they have said to him, many times they've said to him, don't do this, don't go there, don't do this. And if he had listened and had run a disciplined campaign, I'm telling you, he would be winning now. He would be winning. Because people are not happy. People do want change. People are not happy. People despise Hillary Clinton. And they really want change. But he's not running on that. He's scaring the hell out of people who ordinarily would want to vote for him, and he's scaring the hell out of them. And they should be scared, because he is nuts. I'll be happy when this election's over. I will be happy when this election is over. I won't be happy about the new president, because either way, whether it's Clinton or Trump, I'm not going to be happy, because I believe they're going to be disastrous. You know, just look at the markets are going to tank if he becomes president. If he becomes president, I believe that just his election will scare the hell out of the markets. They're going to tank if he wins. Because he's made so many crazy statements on the economy, he scares the hell out of Wall Street. And Wall Street, by the way, is not a bunch of rich bankers. The majority of the American people have stocks, are invested in Wall Street one way or another. Most Americans are invested in Wall Street. 170 or 180 million Americans have some sort of stocks or some sort of investments in Wall Street. And many, many middle-class Americans have a major part of their assets in Wall Street. If Wall Street crashes, it's a disaster for all of us. Not for me. Personally, I don't have any stocks. I don't have stocks. I don't have bonds. So I'm not a rich person. But people I love and people I care about will be badly hurt, God forbid. And so, I'm sorry, I don't want a nut like that in the White House. Hillary is very bad. Her policies are bad. Her economic policies, fiscal policies, everything. Foreign policy, terrible. Very anti-Israel and anti-Semite. Terrible. But Trump is not better. And on some issues, he's so crazy that he's worse. That's where we stand. Another couple of weeks, it'll be all over. We took an unpopular stand. Yeah, we took an unpopular stand and we've taken hits for it. We've taken our share of hits for it. And believe me, I'd rather be popular. I want to be very popular. I want JTF to be very popular. But not at the expense of our principles. If it goes against our principles, I'd rather be unpopular. And I'd rather lose support for JTF at least stand for the truth. And believe me, whatever support we lose will be temporary. Because in the end, you're going to see we were right. We're going to begin, God willing, a campaign now in Israel. Just like you saw us do for Ted Cruz. You see, when we start, we go one after another with videos and a big posts and all types of a big campaign. We're going to do that now, God willing. For a political party, that we'll announce support for the political party in the next week or two. And we'll begin a campaign to try to have people in the Knesset who We're not going to get anybody perfect. We're not going to get anybody who takes all of our positions on the issues. Nobody is as, nobody has the right-wing positions that we have. Nobody running. None of them. So we're not going to get perfection. But we want somebody who at least, on the vast majority of those issues, will take positions that would improve the situation for the Jewish people and for Israel. And so we're going to begin a big campaign in Hebrew and also in English dealing with that election and trying to build support for a political party that will hopefully give us a voice in the Knesset, a voice of sanity. A voice of sanity against all of the madness that we see in Israeli policies. If you agree that the time has come for our voice to be heard, not by thousands of Israeli Jews, but by millions of them, if you want us to be heard by as many people as possible, and if you want us to succeed in getting a true right-wing voice in the Knesset in the next election, then help us. And here in America, you know, even after the election is over, we've got to clean up the mess, and we're going to start, assuming if Clinton wins, we're going to support Ted Cruz again in 2020. And we're going to begin a campaign of trying to push the issues. Our main thing now in America is going to be pushing the issues that are important here in the United States, like ending foreign aid, energy independence, the Muslim threat, the threat of Muslim terrorism. All of these are issues that are very important that neither of the candidates for president genuinely will deal with in a serious way. But we will deal with them once the campaign is over. So, we need your help. Let's work together as a team. We can influence things and possibly change history if we work together as a team. Number one, we need your prayers. Please pray for our success. Number two, we need you to become active on our main pages. JTF.org is our main English page with the great Shlomo, who is constantly updating articles and posts, and just a fantastic page, the best page on the internet, JTF.org. If you speak Hebrew, Hayamin.org is our main Hebrew page. Please be active on that page. Please promote our Hebrew and English videos. Help us work together with us. And yes, we need your financial support. Every check, every donation does make a big difference. It helps us to reach more people and do more good. It also helps us to help the Jewish heroes in Judea and Samaria that we are helping when they need our help. Checks, money orders, cash donations sent to our post office box do make a difference. If you prefer, instead of sending checks, money orders, and cash donations to the post office box, if you prefer to do it online with your credit card, you can just go to our Hebrew main page. On top, there's a donate button in English. You see the word donate in English. You click on that, and very conveniently, you can donate with your credit card very quickly and very conveniently if that's what you prefer to do. And again, our Hebrew main page is hayamin.org, and on top, the donate button is in English. Either way, helping us financially makes a big difference. Let's work together as a team, and we're coming to an important period now. You're going to see in the next week or two, we're coming to an important period, and we're going to begin a major new campaign in Israel, God willing. You can be part of it. We want you to be part of it. We want to work together, and we want to make a difference to make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.